Okay, we'll call me to order. If you'll join me in the Pledge of Allegiance, please.
Pledge, our salute pledge. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Please let the record reflect that all board members are present this evening and this afternoon, along with Superintendent Gensler and Principal Mr. Town from Wheatland Elementary, along with our tech guru Nick, and Melissa Wyatt, our faithful note minute person. So with that being said, welcome everybody online. Thank you for joining us. Very important topic tonight. And we are going to move on to our board presentation. So I will let Craig take it away.
All right. So I have a presentation I'm going to have Nick put up on the board. We can talk about, I'm going to hold all questions till the end of the presentation. And then if you have questions, certainly please ask those. So as soon as it comes up.
Did everybody see it?
Yeah, I see it.
Terry, can you see it? Somebody I see that can nod or say something.
Yes, we can see it.
Thank you. All right, so I'm starting off with what the recommendation is coming from me to the board. There's no action tonight. This is a presentation to talk about why the recommendation is the way it is. And then we come back Thursday for any other discussion and then action on Thursday, okay? So I'm just going to start off with what the recommendation is. Preschool, we have been fully open in preschool. Can we have everybody mute themselves, please? We've had from 8:30 to 11:30 every day this year, we have had preschool fully open. Okay, we're letting some other people in, so hold on one second. Hit the mute all button, please. Okay, so no change to preschool. Really, the only change is the TK through fifth grade. Beginning the Monday after spring break, I'm recommending that we bring all students back in TK through fifth grade 5 days a week, Monday through Friday, on the following schedule. Classrooms will open 7:50 and we'll serve breakfast in the rooms. Breakfast will also come with a snack or later. And class starts at 8 o'clock. Some breakfast may continue because students who don't get there till 8 o'clock will still be eating. So we put in there like 7:50 to 8:15. It's just really gonna be dependent on the classroom. Then at some point during the day, and I'll show you schedules later, there'll be a 20 minute snack mass break for each class. And the district will provide a snack or students can bring their own as long as they're, you know, within COVID, they can't be homemade and all that kind of stuff. So it's better if we just provide it. And then school would end at 1:20. And then students at 1:20 would go get their grab and go lunch and leave for the day. And buses will depart between 1:20 and 1:30. Okay, so scrolling up, 6th through 8th grade would remain on the same hybrid AM/PM schedule that they're currently on. 3 classes on site and 3 classes distance learning, Tuesday through Friday, Monday still being the day that they do interventions and have meetings and prep and all that. So there's no change to the 6th through 8th grade at this time. So now I'm going to go through the rationale of why we are where we are. The CDC, which is Federal Center for Disease Control, along with the California Department of Public Health, and our local health office, Yuba and Sutter County Public Health, are making the following changes to their recommendations. First is they've revised the guidance on social distancing in schools, saying that most students can now sit 3 feet apart instead of 6 feet, so long as they are wearing a mask. So when I originally scheduled this meeting, it was at 4 feet. And I met with the principals and we felt we could get most, if not all, classrooms TK through 5 to 4 feet. But it would require us pulling furniture out and things like that. we don't need to go to 4 feet down. We get to go to 3 feet. So now we know we can fit a minimum of 28 kids in the classroom, maybe even more than that, depending on the size of the room. So they revised that for TK. Well, it's 4K through 12, regardless of whether your community is in a low transmission, moderate, or substantial. So don't forget, we're in purple, which is the most substantial. Red is what we would move to, which is still considered substantial. And then you move down from there. Wait for that to go up. Okay, sorry. So in communities where transmission is high, which would be red and purple, which Yuba still is, the CDC recommends that middle school and high school students remain at the 6 feet apart if schools aren't able to keep students and teachers in assigned groups. In other words, if we had 6th, 7th, and 8th grades that were in self-contained classrooms, then we could be 3 feet apart. But if we had 6th, 7th, and 8th grade like we do, that move from room to room, or the high school does move from room to room, and you're still in red or purple, then you are still at 6 feet. So that's part of the reason that I wouldn't recommend that we move middle school back, and there's other reasons I'll go into in a minute. So part of the rationale is elementary schools, and we've known this since COVID started, that in elementary schools where younger children have been shown to be at less risk in transmitting the virus than teenagers. Our own data proves that. We've had much less transmission of students at or children at family events that are young than they are in middle or high school. There is still a recommendation that there is at least 6 feet between the adult in the school and between adults in the school and between the adult and the students. So they're still saying teachers should be 6 feet away from the front row of students. They also still recommend that social distancing in common areas, so that would be libraries, multi-purpose rooms, gymnasiums, offices, places like that, still recommend 6 feet. When eating, during indoor activities such as band and indoor sports, and in settings outside of the classroom. That's a very broad statement. And so that would be, I wouldn't consider going to recess or a break, a mass break, or that being a outside of the classroom setting, but it could be that if you were having a concert or a field trip or something like that, then they need to be 6 feet apart. The CDC will continue to look at the science and updating their guidance as new evidence emerges. That's why they've gone to 6, from 6 to 3. The updated guidance from the federal health officials come after a study was published last week in a journal suggesting that public schools could safely reopen as long as kids were 3 feet apart, and other mitigation measures, which we put all those into place, are there, as such as wearing masks, etc. We've continued to complain to everybody that we could, and we're not the only district, that as long as they promote nationally to reopen schools and they keep it at 6 feet, they're only really promoting a hybrid. There's no way you can do it in a class at 6 feet, and maybe, what did you guys, maybe 20, 24?
Maybe,
or is that
40? Maybe 24.
Maybe 24. Can you move that up some? So the World Health Organization and the American Academy of Pediatrics, they've been saying 3 feet for about 2 months now. It takes that long for them to get the message to the governmental agencies that have finally adopted it. And that, I believe that study was done through Harvard. So again, why would we not move 6 through 8, and why do we want them to remain on the hybrid? So changing students to a full model would cause the following issues. There may be others, but these are ones I came up with, and with Ange and whatnot. The schedule would have to be totally rebuilt. Because when they built this schedule, it was built on an AM, PM, and to offset the numbers, they stacked things like electives and PE. We have one class in PE that's 72 students. It's okay when they're distance learning, right? Because we've had 7,500 people on the Zoom here. But it's not okay when they're back on campus. So those kids would all be reshuffled. So what would happen is you'd have a student who had Mrs. Eaton for math for since August, and now you're gonna have Mrs. Kraft for math because this schedule shifted. The other big issue would be they would not necessarily get their same elective that they've been in all year. So that in itself is problematic for a student to have to move to a different classroom with different teachers. And it wouldn't affect all of them that way, but it would affect a large enough number that it doesn't make a lot of sense. So I did the electives. The other thing is we can't keep a stable cohort in middle school because the kids will have to move. The only way you could keep a stable cohort would be to put, let's just do the number, 25 kids in a classroom, sixth grade, and the teachers come to them. So the ELA teacher comes, then the math teacher. The students would not have any ability to pick their elective. And we would be setting classes up based on either electives. And so then maybe the class isn't set up right for math, or we'd set it up for math, and then they end up with ag when they really wanted to have woodshop. So if a group of kids move, it's no longer considered a stable cohort, so they have to remain 6 feet apart. Okay, so moving on to transportation, what would it look like? In the mornings, everything stays the same for pickups. The difference is the PM elementary kids will come in the morning. So they'll go to their same stops, and I put them up here and I'm not gonna go through all of them. They come to their same spot, get picked up in the morning along with sixth through eighth grade. On Mondays, it would just be the TK through five, and on Tuesdays through Friday, it would be TK through eight. And then they would go come to school. Okay, so moving on, at 11 o'clock, the AM sixth through eighth grade students are taken home, and the PM sixth through eighth grade students are picked up just like they are now. No change to the schedule. Buses will be lighter, because no TK through five, they're still in school. Move on up. The 120 dismissal, now we're gonna take all the TK through five kids home. Again, these are the routes Kathy put together today, and it gets everybody home exactly like they are now. Their stops are the same as they were, it's just a little bit different timing. And then the buses come back and pick up the sixth through eighth grade at 3 p.m. for their dismissal. So what this really does is it adds one additional set of runs in the day. We have the 120 run that we didn't have before. So let's talk about instructional time. Currently our TK through fifth grade students receive 3 hours a day, 4 days a week of on-site instruction and 1 hour of Zoom a day on Mondays via distance learning. So that's equal to 13 hours of instruction per week. Now we do know that students also receive interventions and other things on Mondays, but there's no way for me to solidify what that looks like because every classroom's different. Not every kid gets everything. So I'm just going with what I know is 13 hours. Sixth through eighth grade, they receive 3 hours a day, 4 days a week of on-site instruction, and then they go home and receive, or they start at home either way, 3 hours a day, 4 days a week of distance learning, and then the 1 hour of Zoom on Mondays. So that equals 25 hours a week of instruction. So you can see the differential between the 25 and the 13 already. With this recommendation, students will come, TK through five will come in 5 hours a day, not counting the 20 minutes that they're on break, and mass break, and that's not counted as instructional time. So 5 hours a day, 25 hours per week, same as middle school now. They're both at 25 hours a week. Just that the TK through 5 does it in 5 days at 5 hours, and the 6 through 8 does 6 hours, 4 days a week, and then 1 hour on Monday. So what does it do to the teaching time with staff? Currently, both 6th through 8th grade do 25 hours per week. Again, I understand that some do much more than that on Mondays, but it's including 1 hour of Zoom time on Monday. Ratchet up. Now we're going to do exactly the same amount of teaching time. Of course, 6th through 8th grade doesn't change because they're exact same schedule. TK through 5, instead of doing 6 hour days and one day of 1 hour, they're doing 5 5-hour days of teaching. That equals 25 hours per week. So what does the schedule look like? In Bear River 4 through 5, our care room is still going to be open at all of our sites. Because Bear River has still a hybrid model, their care room has to be open more longer hours than the others. So they open at 7 o'clock for care. Teachers arrive at 7:30. Doors open at 7:50. Breakfast is delivered to the classrooms, hopefully around 7:50. 8 o'clock, school begins. At 10:10, the fourth grade take their mask and snack break. Teachers will not be required to supervise the students. We will have supervision out there, so the teachers get a 20-minute break at this point. And then those students come in, and fifth grade goes out, 10:30 to 10:50. At 1:20, the students leave and get a grab and go lunch. 1:30 to 2 is the teachers in the fourth and fifth here, their 30-minute duty-free lunch. And then from 2 to 3 is the teacher's planning time, maybe staff meetings, IEPs, SSTs, etc. And then at 3 o'clock, it's the end of their teaching day. And then at 3:30, the care program closes. Ratchet up to sixth grade. We have AM students coming in from 8 to 11, receive math, science, social science, and then 12 to 3, and exactly the same for the PM, just opposite times. Lone Tree, care opens at 7:30 instead of 7. Teachers arrive at 7:30, so if they have to drop their child off, they can do that. Doors open at 7:50. School begins at 8, and then, if you can scroll up a little more, you can see each of the breaks. Because Lone Tree has multiple playgrounds, they can have 2 break times with 4 groups out at a time. So kindergarten playground would have two classes out at 10:10, and then 2 more out at 10:30. And so on and so forth. I'm not going to read through all of them, but you can see what it is. Dismissal the same, lunch for the teachers, 1:30 to 2, and et cetera, et cetera. And then end of teacher day is at 3, and the care closes at 3 at Lone Tree. So the teachers need to go get their, or staff need to go get their kids. Wheatland Elementary, very similar to Lone Tree's, they care opens at 7:30. Teachers arrive 7:30, door opens 7:50, school begins 8 o'clock. Then there's, they have 3 breaks or 3 snack mask breaks built in because they don't have as much playground space. So they have the kindergarten playground that would be, they'd have 1 class out at a time. And then they have the elementary playground, which is much bigger than the kindergarten. And that would have first grade out at 10, second grade out at 10:20, and third grade out at 10:40. And then they would get dismissed again at 1:20, and et cetera, et cetera. Same with everybody else. And care closes at 3 o'clock. So we were notified today that Yuba County is now eligible to move to the red tier. As long as our numbers remain low for next week, we could move to the red tier on March 30th, so that's a week from today. The current case count in Yuba County is 8.8, with a test positivity rate of 4.9. As a reminder, to move from the purple tier to the red tier, we must have a case count of 10 or less, which we do, and a positivity rate of 8% or less, which we do, but it has to be for 2 consecutive weeks. And I just pointed out that Wheatland, is, if they just picked up, you know, picked out Wheatland as a group, we'd probably be in orange, right? Because our numbers are significantly lower than the county as a whole. So again, I'm just going to reiterate what my recommendation to the board for Thursday's action is going to be: preschool remain as is, fully open as they have been, 8:30 to 11:30. TK through 5 starting Monday, April 12th, which is the Monday back from spring break. All students will be back to a 5 days a week. When I say all students, that doesn't mean HBIS. Okay, HBIS kids are already still in HBIS. From 8 to 120, and then 6th through 8th grade, no change to what they are currently doing. They would remain in the hybrid AM/PM schedule with 3 classes on site and 3 classes via distance learning. We're one of the few, this is a great thing to say that you don't get to say in many places. We're one of the few schools in California that our middle school kids get all 6 of their classes. Most middle schools are not that way. And the way that this design is, yes, 3 of them are distance learning, but still they're getting all 6 classes. And the teachers that are doing the distance learning are interacting with the kids for the time in which they are in the classroom.
More than a lot of high schools are getting as well.
Yes, it's twice as much as what our local high schools get.
The HBIS kids, now that they see that we're open, do they have, they have to finish out the year on that, or how does that work?
It's going to be a space available thing.
Okay.
So if they're in HBIS and the parents say, oh, you're open now, and this would only obviously be for the TK through 5.
Yeah.
And it's a kindergartner at Wheatland L, Mr. Town's going to go, yeah, sorry, I got 29 in these classes. But if it's a third grader and there's 21, yeah, certainly they can come back.
Okay. And my other question is, the teachers are going to stick to those break schedules and not go out additionally, or because of the they're going to follow that schedule, I assume.
Yeah, the schedule was put together. I didn't put the schedules together. The schedules were put together by the principals. The only thing I would say is, it's a 20-minute break, okay? Mm-hmm. When I originally approached the principals about it, I had built in a 10-minute morning and a 10-minute afternoon. They wanted 20 minutes all at once. They might find that 20 minutes all at once is great. They might find that maybe 10 and 10 works better. As long as they don't go over the 20, that's the main thing, because then it's no longer, right now it's not interfering in their instructional minutes.
Okay, because with the 3 hours, I know we have some that take longer mass breaks than others, you know.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, I like that they're on a scheduled time in a 20-minute.
And they have to really adhere to the schedule that the principal puts out there, because you can't go out there when the others are out there and not cause us some issues. The other thing I would say is that and I haven't really talked to the principals about this much, but I would avoid PE, for example, because this is a great opportunity. We have, I think it's 8.5 weeks, if you take away the last week of school and all those things. It's a great opportunity to really start building the skills back up in the TK through fifth grade. Again, I think our kids have done well because our teachers have been here, they've been on campus, but they've been getting 3 hours. They haven't been getting their normal day. Now, some people are gonna ask, well, why don't we have lunch in the classroom and extend the day till 2:10, whatever. I guess it would be 2:10. And my answer to that is, we have to put them 6 feet apart. So now we're running into a situation where you can take one or maybe two classes into lunch at a time. It extends that period of time wide open. The other problem is, we still have to serve lunch at Bear River for the students that are on a hybrid. So asking our cafeteria staff to serve lunch in the cafeteria at the same time they have to go stand out and hand out lunches, it's virtually impossible. And really, all we're really doing is, it would be a 5.5-hour day for kids, but still only 5 days of instruction, because 30 minutes of it would be in the cafeteria.
So I have a question about breakfast then.
Yes.
If you can't do lunch because you have to be 6 feet because they're going to be unmasked, how can you do breakfast if they're not
going to be masked for breakfast? So, this is the rules. In a common space like a multi-purpose room, they have to be 6 feet apart. In the classroom, because they're with the same cohort, even if they're eating a snack or eating breakfast, they can be 3 feet apart. But once you put them in the cafeteria, if you only put your class in the cafeteria, essentially they could probably be 3 feet apart, but it would take you 4.5 hours to get through lunch because you'd only do one class at a time. If you put three classes in there, now you're mixing cohorts, and so they would have to be 6 feet apart. I don't make the rules.
Okay, so my other question was, when you showed the fourth, fifth graders at Bear River, you said teachers will rotate. I didn't understand what you meant by that.
They're going to rotate where they are on the playground.
Okay.
So that, you know, they might be over here and these guys get the playground.
Okay, I understand. I just didn't know what you meant.
Yeah.
Are we going to open playground, just question, open playground equipment and that stuff for this, or is it still going to be currently the way it is?
Playground equipment can be open now.
Okay.
Angela, are you on here, Angela? Waltz? My understanding is
playground
equipment can be open, and sharing of PE equipment can also happen now. Is that correct, Angela?
That's how I understand it.
Thank you. So yes, we can open the playground equipment. However, understanding that if the idea is to go out, have a snack, take your mask off, you're not going to be playing on the equipment if you don't have your mask on. So it's just a matter of trying to work through it. I would say probably the first couple of weeks I wouldn't open the playground equipment, and then I'd slowly move into it and maybe let one class a day try it out or something. But that's really going to be a site-based decision. They can do it. So there was also some questions about our fogging and whether kids can eat after the rooms have been fogged. The answer is yes. Angela reached out to the manufacturer today. I always thought, why not? You're fogging at 3 o'clock in the afternoon and they're not eating till 8 o'clock, 7:50 the next morning. It's been dried up for hours. But we did get confirmation that their issue of food is being prepared on the surface, not eating it on the surface.
So will the fogging only happen after school now?
At Lone Tree and at Wheatland, it will only happen after school. At Bear River, they will still have to fog between a.m. and p.m.
But that's only for 6 through 8.
6 through 8, though.
Okay.
So, any other questions from the board before I open it up to...
I have one more question. About. So, if you're going to pick up all the younger grades on the bus now, what does that look like on the bus?
Kathy?
The wheels go around and around.
I know Kathy's on here, so let's see if she can unmute herself.
In the mornings, the kids already ride in together, so that part won't change.
Except you're adding the PM kids to the bus. The TK through 5, you're adding to the morning bus. So we will have a
number. Yeah, but the numbers are pretty low on that part of it. If it looks like we're going to have overcrowding, I mean, then we might have to put an extra bus out there. Right now, the only buses that we have any crowding on is the Bill Air Force Base, and that's the older kids.
So it should, remember, we already said in our original reopening plan, as a parent, you need to know that when your children ride the bus, they will not be social distanced. They will have to wear a mask. And right now, you can see some of these buses, and they might hold 82 kids and there's 15 on the bus. So it's not gonna hugely impact the buses, but there will be kids sitting next to each other for sure.
Yeah, and right now our numbers in the mornings on most of our routes that have the combined students is averaging in the 20s to 30s. So it might move up into the 40s, maybe possibly 50s, but it'll still be low enough because, you know, I mean, like you said, maybe two kids to a seat, but that would be it.
And isn't it typical, Kathy, that we have more students, less students riding to school on the bus than riding home on the bus?
Yes, yes, you're
so
correct.
Our home thing will be spread out even more because now we don't have TK through 5 leaving at 3 o'clock at the same time 6 through 8. The 3 o'clock run's only going to be 6 through 8. And the 11 o'clock run's only going to be 6 through 8. And the 120 is only going to be TK through 5. So it's really just that morning section that you may have some impact. But again, a lot of parents drop their kids off in the morning but let them take the bus in the afternoon. If there's no other board questions at this point, let's see if there's anything. Can you click on the chat? Somebody's got. So if kids can eat in the room with 3 feet spacing, why can't they eat the grab-and-go lunch from home and extend the day to 2:30? Okay, well, first of all, we wouldn't extend the day to 2:30 because that goes well beyond the number of hours in the classroom because they're starting at 8 o'clock. The second thing is that really it does nothing for education. It's 30 minutes of time where the students are together eating lunch, which then creates a supervision issue for us because we don't have as many employees right now as we typically do, but it doesn't increase the instruction time. Yes, playgrounds are open and equipment are open. Yes, Robin. You have a question about masks. If you want to unmute it or you want to type it, either way.
Yeah, I unmuted. Sorry. I'm trying to read at the same time. I noticed that the CDC switched it from facial coverings to masks. So does that mean gaiters and bandanas are out? Or because I noticed it was consistent across the documents, and I wasn't sure when that change took place, but it definitely was in the latest documents out about masks and well-fitting masks, almost like they pulled out the whole gaiter bandana facial covering thing.
Yeah, my understanding is nothing's changed in the mask piece. I don't know that we should have ever been allowing bandanas because that has been proven to not be a great covering. I think it intends to be a mask for students, but I will get clarification from Dr. Liu on that particular question. Face shields are not okay.
I knew that. I was just, we have a lot of kids that wear gaiters and they're very, like, really, really thin.
Yeah, that's a great question, and I'll get the answer to that.
Okay, thank you.
So I have one more about clarification. You said it's okay that they eat breakfast in the classroom because they're in the same cohort. Mm-hmm. And I don't understand.
So
you can take your mask off?
They're going to have to take their mask off to eat, right? So, but they're sitting at their desk. That desk is not shared by anybody else. They're sitting next to the same people day after day after day. And so they can remain 3 feet in the classroom even with eating breakfast.
I think breakfast, the numbers, not a lot of kids will be eating. I think they're used to eating before they go in currently, so
I agree. We're going to find out, right? Because we're going to start with providing breakfast for every kid in the classroom, and then those who don't want to eat it, then we're going to not continue to provide that. The big issue that was discussed amongst the administrators when we met is we got to have some food for the kids during the day, because going from 8 to 1:20 without having a snack or something. So that's why we were making sure that breakfast was available. Normally, if we offer breakfast in a normal year, the kids have to get there at 7:30 and have their breakfast done before 8 o'clock start. So this is kind of giving the students that aren't necessarily going to be able to eat at home, because we do have some of those, the ability to eat here. And then at their snack break, mass break, then they'll be able to eat at that point too. And they will probably eat that, I would assume, outside.
So the morning kids coming for breakfast, if you're going to come to school and you're not going to eat breakfast, you can come later?
8 o'clock.
Okay.
8 o'clock start time. Okay. And again, this is TK through 5.
Right.
The breakfast lunch program for 6 or 8 doesn't change. They get it in a bag or whatever they get it in.
One question about for the TK through 5, the teachers who have allowed their students to remove the desk shields, will they now have to put them back up if they increase the number of students in the class?
The answer is no. Would they, you know, is it an extra protection while they're eating breakfast? It probably is. But desk shields were never something that was recommended from any of the science groups. We did that as an extra layer of protection. And it didn't matter. We didn't have very many of these cases, but if I had COVID and I were within 6 feet of somebody, whether or not they had a desk shield, they got quarantined. So the desk shield was really more about just an added layer of protection. I mean, if it were me, I would say put the desk shield up while they're eating. It might help. I can tell you, and these people on here can tell you, that when we said no more desk shields, it was like they won the lottery, especially the students.
Yeah, I agree. That's why I asked.
Yeah, we're not enforcing desk shields at this point. So understand that this is all predicated on everything's getting a lot better. Even if we go back into the purple, once we're in this program, once we're open, we're open. We do not have to go back and forth. So that's our biggest concern, is we don't want to bring them all back and then 3 weeks from now say, oh, we got all good. No. This is the plan, assuming you approve it.
Yeah.
All right. Will speech services be able to take place during instructional minutes or still after school is out? During instructional minutes, yes. There may be some part of it that they could get, you know, if a parent said, look, I want my kid in the classroom from 8 to 1:20, is there a possibility of doing speech from 1:20 to 3 o'clock? Well, the speech teachers are still there, but understand they also have IEPs and other things they have to do. But the intent, Erica, is to have speech during the school hours. Kindergarten shares tables, and with all kids being back, will their shields go back up when they eat? I just answered that question, so it's not a requirement. It's up to the teacher in that classroom. Will we be getting single desks? First grade shares a table. How would we do 3 feet? You can do 3 feet on a shared table, but I've already told the principals that if there's a need to get single desks, we can certainly look at ordering them. Does any of us think we're going to get them before spring break? The answer is probably not. But we can certainly order them if especially, you know, on a classroom basis, if we want to change up what we're doing. If we return to school and we go back down to purple, will playgrounds close? I would say, I mean, if you're putting me on the spot, I'm going to tell you no, because they're saying that the connection between kids playing on equipment and somebody getting COVID from that equipment, which they thought originally, or they didn't really know, they were concerned about that. Scientifically, they're saying that doesn't happen enough to close the equipment.
I'll look at our preschool and even Kids Country preschool. Right. No masks, no anything in there on the equipment and bikes and stuff.
So, yeah, the 6 feet apart is correct. If they're in the stable cohort, it's my understanding, and I can check it out again, that they can eat breakfast within 3 feet of each other. If not, then I don't know how we feed the kids breakfast, because we can't put them in the empty room.
So where did it say that part from the CDC?
I talked to Dr. Liu about that in one of my questions.
Okay. So. And she said, the CDC says, as long as they're in a cohort?
Yep. That's the difference between the 6 feet and the 3 feet is if they're in a stable cohort. So. What's the purpose of 1:20 and why not 2 o'clock? So the purpose of 1:20 is that's 5 hours of instruction, which is equal to what we've done in the past in a regular school year. The 2 o'clock that we've had in the past includes a 30-minute lunch where the students aren't in instruction. We're trying to build the instruction back without putting them in a situation which could potentially be the worst for kids, and that's in a main eating hall altogether. So that's the reason. Even if we went to 2 o'clock and they had a 35-minute lunch, they would only gain 5 minutes of instruction. Plus, the way this is set up and the system we have in place right now is we don't have the staff to supervise that many kids over the lunch, because a lot of our employees that have left, we have not replaced them. And it is virtually impossible to find an employee that wants to come in and work for 2 to 3 hours, because many of them are on unemployment and they're getting that extra $300 a week. So they would take a pay cut to come to work. Once that goes away, then likely we'll be able to find some people to work. No, your official start time at Wheatland-El is not 8:15 under this, it is 8 o'clock. Your official start, there's no such thing as an official start time. The start time is whatever's determined. In the past, they've gone from 8:15 to 2 o'clock. We're not trying to mirror a pre-pandemic schedule. We are trying to get them in for 5 hours of instruction. The 8:15 to 2 o'clock included a 15-minute recess and a minimum of a 30-minute lunch, and most of them were even longer.
Well, now they're all in the mode of 8 o'clock right now. Switching mid-year would be difficult. I like that you're keeping it the same.
The other real issue is transporting.
Yeah.
We can't make a turnaround and get kids here 15, 20 minutes later. Oh, sorry, Lisa, I didn't see the last part of that. It wasn't scrolled up. So she's saying it was at 8:15. It was 8:15 to 2 o'clock. So we're doing 8 to 1:20. If you took out the 35 minutes of lunchtime in the original one, we're going to school the same amount of time. It's just the start and stop time are changed to meet the needs of so many different things that we're trying to accomplish.
I have another question about
it. I appreciate that, Lisa. Thank you. Sorry, it wasn't scrolled up and I didn't see the rest of your
class size. So you mentioned 29. I didn't know we had classes that big.
Yes.
Fourth and fifth grade go bigger.
Yep. K through three is supposed to be an average of 24, but it's a district-wide average. So we have a couple kindergartens that might be at 26 because we have a couple kindergartens that might be at 22. Okay, so we do have. And I believe that fourth grade at Lone Tree is 29, and at least one fourth grade at Bear River is 28. And then when you get into the middle schools, they can have 32, 33 kids. So yes, we do have a couple.
Starts after spring break.
You've got this question.
Yeah.
When does this take place? April 12th. Again, tonight is just to answer questions and all of that. The board will have to rule on it on Thursday, but it starts the Monday after spring break. Remember, it used to be the Monday after spring break was a holiday. It is not this year because we took that away when we started later. So it's the Monday after spring break. Can we send out another reminder to parents on what symptoms will get your child sent home and the duration? Yes, we have it on our website. I think I brought a couple. It looks, I don't know really where to hold this.
Yeah.
It has some smiley faces and whatnot, and it tells you, and I can go through it quickly, but yes, it is on our website, and we can get it out again. Low risk general symptoms are fever, congested nose, nausea, vomiting, and diarrhea, which is stomach, et cetera. Sore throat, headache, fatigue, muscle aches. High risk is cough, difficult in breathing, or loss of taste and smell. If you only have one low risk, so let's say you have a runny nose, then you are sent home and you can return 24 hours after the symptom has been resolved without any medication. If you have two low risk, then you need to go home, or one high risk, then you're sent home and then you have to be evaluated by your healthcare provider. So we can get this back out to parents again. Understand that I'd like to tell you simply that we may not agree with all of this. This is what's given to us from the doctors and whatnot that are putting this all together. The reality of it is that we enforce it and we have not had many cases. We've had zero cases that started or spread at school. We haven't had many cases. Yes, it's kind of a pain. And yes, some kids that have allergies may get sent home. All that takes is for you to get a note from your doctor that says that Johnny has seasonal allergies. And then you wouldn't get sent home for that and you wouldn't have to quarantine. So.
It's good to see your face, Erica. And also you need to know that our health techs and Angela, our nurse, are absolutely amazing. And they're gonna continue to probably work even harder to make sure that this is successful. So I put a lot of faith in what they've done at each site, and Angela's been all over and she's been amazing. So.
And I think one of the key takeaways here is we understand that it may impact the parent because they have to come get their child or the child has to stay home for a few days. And we understand that. But impacting one parent to make sure that we don't impact 15 parents because a child had COVID is where we're going to lean right now. In a normal year, you may not get sent home for a runny nose. But we're not in a normal year. We're in a COVID year. And yes, we're slowly moving our way out. And the more people that are vaccinated, supposedly it's going to continue to go that direction. But we're not going to back off of that because what we don't want to do is end up having to get shut down because we had some mass outbreak.
Heather has a comment. What's the next
one? Okay, Heather, you got unmute?
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay, so my comment that I'm about to say doesn't mean I don't want the kids back. I think it's wonderful they're coming back. I wish it could work out for middle school to do it. But there's two things I'm questioning that I'm hoping you can get figured out before the Thursday vote. And one of them on the seat, because I read the CDC website, their new updates, is it does say 6 feet for eating. And it also said no shared equipment or materials. So if you could just really check into that before the vote on Thursday to make sure that we're not headed down the wrong path.
Sure. I can tell you that both myself and Angela Waltz have had numerous conversations with our local health about the use of shared basketballs, baseballs, you know, whatever, and the equipment. And we have been told time and time again that is not an issue. Our preschool kids have been using their equipment all year long. And we've had zero issues. The food one is worthy of a little more investigation. However, understand that we either don't give them breakfast or we allow food to be eaten in the classroom. That's the takeaway. So I will check that one out again. How many students will be seated at each table in kindergarten if they have to be 3 feet apart? I don't know the answer to that question because I don't have one of their tables here. We'll have to check with the sites. My understanding is that we can accommodate all the kids in every classroom, TK through five, at 3 feet apart. If we have to buy some desks, we'll buy some desks. If we have to get rid of desks, we'll get rid of desks. Whatever it's going to take to get them in there, we're happy to do that. Okay, Shelly said the same thing that Heather said. And I understand the CDC, they make general conversation, general rules, and so I'll check out the eating piece. Just to clarify, if a student tests positive and they are 6 feet apart, nobody else has to be quarantined. That is correct. They have changed not only...
3 feet,
yeah. 3 feet apart. If they're 3 feet apart, that is considered the new social distance in a classroom. It may not be the new social distance in a lunchroom. So yes, that was one of the big issues that we had. You know, I have meetings every week about this stuff. And one of the things we kept pushing is you can't say that students can be 3 feet apart. And then if somebody has COVID, we have to send home 12 of them because you say no, but for social distancing, it's still 6 feet. So it is 3 feet apart. All right. So only K-5 going to change, 6-8, saying that and saying yes. What if they have breakfast food outside at the snack break?
No place to eat it.
Or outside of the rooms in the hall. That's not a bad idea if it's a good weather day. Sitting out in front of the classrooms, six feet apart, I suppose. I don't know how many we can get out there, but again, I'm going to check further into this and we'll have more before. To me, it doesn't have to be before Thursday. Some of you might have to be before Thursday, but to me, we'll accommodate some other way to serve breakfast or whatever. I'm not going to change my recommendation based on whether or not we can feed them breakfast, right? We need to get these kids back in the classroom. And every study that's out there says children need to be back in the classroom. It's much safer for our little ones than it is for older ones, et cetera, et cetera. So we keep talking a lot about the breakfast, and that's 15 minutes out of our day. So again, it's the same questions over and over about breakfast. We may be able to do something in the cafeteria depending on how many kids actually eat breakfast. I think Peter said he could get, was that 6 feet apart or 3 feet apart?
6 feet apart.
He could get 72 kids in the multi-purpose room. That's great if we only have 72 kids who eat breakfast. But we have 300 kids at that school. So I never thought this would become a breakfast conversation. We're trying to get the kids in school, and we're trying to provide food for the kids. Like Nikki said earlier, many of the children eat before they come to school.
But we do have a high population of low income.
Yeah, our low income kids. We would have, I mean, the only other option would be for us to send home a breakfast the day before, and they have to eat it prior to coming to school, and no breakfast is supplied at school. You will miss kids. You will miss kids that won't be able to do it. Not everybody, unfortunately, gets to have the parent home and all of that in the mornings. And so,
I just knocked this out. I had an extra kid last night that Rich and I take care of. Two kids occasionally. And I asked him this morning what he wanted for breakfast. And he told me he never eats breakfast currently before he goes to school. So having breakfast was a huge thing. They're on the low income thing. They do get their breakfast from school the day before, but it's a matter of a lot of times they go home and they eat that if they don't have anything else. And so, I think it's important that we provide it for those who need it.
All right.
But then come to my house and I'll get scrambled. Okay.
We have kids now that should have breakfast that are starving. I totally agree with you, Michelle. Has this district looked at the stats from other countries that have returned full time? No. I haven't looked at stats. I can tell you that there are other districts within our geographic area that are already full time. And most, if not all districts, well, not all, many districts are bringing their TK through 5 back after spring break. Many of them. But I don't have anything on other countries. And I don't know how you would compare that compared to what we do versus what we do in the United States versus what they do. And so on.
Probably
in the
county. Okay.
Maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
Counties, not
countries.
Yeah. But, I can speak to a couple of districts that have their kids full time now, and they experience the same kind of things that we experience it after Christmas and et cetera. They experienced some COVID issues at their mainly high schools, and they had to quarantine kids. My brother's a teacher. I've told you guys that before in the high school. And he had one class where they had to quarantine 8 kids because the one in the middle, but they're not adhering to any social distancing. There are 38 kids in the classroom. But for the last month, as we've all seen, things have gone down. he's had no kids quarantined. So that if it is county, yeah, okay, yeah, county, yeah. There we're seeing the same thing we're seeing community wide. COVID is going down. It does not mean that it's not going to go back up. I can't guarantee you that, but it is going down. Plumas Lake started today or yesterday with one of their K-5s. So they have two K-5s and 6-8. Their 6-8 is staying on hybrid. Their one of their elementaries is staying on hybrid, and the other elementary is K-5. And what they're allowing is parents to choose. We don't have that same option because one of ours happens to be on base and you can't necessarily choose to go out there. The other piece of that is they're providing zero transportation. So it's all on the parents to get their kids to and from wherever they go. And I talked to the high school again today, and they're not planning, they're staying on the hybrid as well. At least at this point, they even put something out and said they made a decision to stay on until the end of the year.
And they also closed down for 2 days because of their teachers giving them vaccines, because so that way if they were tired and not feeling well, so they closed down 2 days last week that they weren't open for their hybrid.
Well, they were already closed on the Wednesday, and then they closed on the Friday. So the way the high school works is a student goes, well, Nick knows because he's got a daughter, Monday, Thursday, and Tuesday, Friday. So if you have a child there, you go 2 days a week to school, and then you have 1 day of check-in on Google. So they're really getting 2 days of school at the high school level. I will tell you, our middle school kids are getting the full load, and I believe that our teachers are doing a fantastic job, that are the distance learning ones, to make sure that they're giving them everything they can. They're missing out on some of the other stuff that comes with school. But educationally, I think they're doing quite well. Did I talk about Learning Center, how it will work? Will we stay, push it into classroom, or go back to pull-out programs? I don't know that we've made that decision yet. It's most likely it's going to go back to a normal, the kid moves, goes into the classroom. But again, that's going to be a decision made by your site administrator along with your special ed teacher or teachers on what's best for the student. So more on that, Lisa, not coming from me, but coming from Peter. And then of course that loan tree will come from Jody, and it'll come from Angela at Bear River for Sherry.
Does that mean Jody will be going there and then they go to the Learning Center and then they go back there? Mm-hmm. They do that at Bear River currently.
Right.
For fourth grade, at least I know for sure.
Yeah, most again, IEPs drive that. And the IEP could say it's a push in, or the IEP could say it's a pull out. And so it just depends on what the IEP is driven. But we are moving closer to what would be a normal school year with kids going to speech, going to special ed, because they would be there for five hours, assuming this is approved. So they would be there for 5 hours, they're going to get their time then. Right now, what's kind of happening is the kids that have speech that are AM kids are getting Zoom speech PM and vice versa, but there won't be that ability once they're in school for the entire 5 hours. And principals, if I got that wrong, let me know, please. How does the new break schedule affect yard duty and paras, since many of them are working different positions and schedules? So that's a great question. What I've tasked the principals with is to put together a schedule that will supervise the kids on their break and their mask snack break that does not involve teacher supervision. The teachers will have their break at the same time. A para or a yard duty or whatever could have their break at a different time. With that being said, if there is a requirement or a need, not a requirement, if there is a need to add time to our yard duties, our paras, or something like that, the principals know they have the ability to reach out and we will pay the extra time for the remainder of this year out of COVID money, et cetera, because there's a need there. So like Rochelle, if you were a 3-hour employee and Peter needed you for 4.5, we just ask if you could work the extra hour and a half on a timesheet and you would be able to do that. So Mrs. Hopkins is not going to be with us for a while. As you all know, she had a baby, and so she's off. So there won't be any asynchronous Mrs. Hopkins stuff unless you directed the kids to go on it after 1:20. When she comes back, we'll reevaluate what that's going to look like in the terms of whether she comes into classes and provides lessons or not. But right now, we're not providing a sub for Mrs. Hopkins, music, and when she's back, we'll figure that piece out. The kids will not be going to her, I can tell you that, because that's going to mess up with the cohort. So currently, she would have to come in and do Mr. Pinkman's class and then go and do Mrs. Paul's class and blah, blah, blah. Going to give it a few more minutes, and if there's no other questions, then
is she supposed to come back before the school year?
Jody? Caught you off guard. Do you know Mrs. Hopkins is coming back before the end of the school year?
Yes, she's hoping to come back at the end of May or mid-May, but it's all dependent on how things are going with baby.
Yeah. So if she comes back at the end of May, it's 2 weeks. Right. If she comes back mid-May, then maybe it's a month. I think so, yeah.
When's the last day of school?
June 9th. Will OT come back to campus? Ange, can you answer that question? Or not?
I would have to ask them, their service provider, but for the most part, they have been on our campus, so I'm not sure.
So,
that's referring to. Some of the services, depending on the schedule, they may have had to do with Zoom, but most of them have been in the classroom.
Thank you. Parent volunteers allowed to be back? No, but if they want a job. Honestly, we're going to need to employ some people, if not right now, in the future. So if we have parents that are interested in classified positions, tell them to reach out to the principal and let them know, because we have some unfilled positions that we need to start filling.
You put out that survey for everybody too of what they wanted to do. I thought that was good for people working in different positions.
So what it does mean is those classified employees that are at that are tied to TK through 5 that are currently working longer hours on Tuesday through Friday are now going to have to come back to their normal hours on Monday through Friday, not now, but on the 12th, assuming the board approves this. They'll come back to their Monday through Friday job, but we may ask to increase their hours for the next 9 weeks to offset the need based on
So will the teachers get to decide when they need their para, or will they go back to the original, standard time? Maybe that's a question for you, Mr. Down. I don't know. Like, they were there early. I don't know. It depends on how they go about their teaching.
I think they would, to make one blanket statement, I might get eaten up by two principals, but I think they would go back to their normal schedule because we're on somewhat of a normal full-day schedule. It may be, though, that we want to bring them in for a longer period of time because catch up stuff, and then also having them help cover the breaks would mean that there's maybe less time, because then they're going to take their breaks and there's less time for kids, so maybe we add on to their day.
She's down in the morning.
So the students should be in one cohort. There's no specific language about how many can they go into. They're in their one cohort. The one thing that's made abundantly clear is that we are to provide services for special education, ELD, homeless, and foster. And so if that means that they have an IEP and they have to go into the learning center, then that's where they're going to go. Most likely, they can accommodate a 6-foot section in the learning center because they're not going to have as many students in there. But there, again, there's no specific language requiring us to do that. But yeah, there's not a number of cohorts. A cohort is one, really. That's what they're saying, is one. But we know special ed kids are going to have to move. No, I just did that one. Erica's the last one I did. Is there another one?
No.
Erica's kind of chatty tonight.
In Jenna's class, Mrs. Boardman's classroom, they have two students to one long two-seater desk. Will they be seated on the outside of the desks? I'll be honest with you, Jenna, I have not over measured. Peter, do you know?
Yeah, the tables are 4 feet long, and if they sit next to each other, they're gonna be too close. At one point, one of the configurations was to be on the end, and then they would have the full 4 feet in between. Now it's gone to 3 feet. I think we can move around, maybe be on opposite sides of the table. So we'll work with the furniture.
Yeah, gonna work with the furniture, and if we need to order some desks, we may even have some desks in storage, I don't know.
That's 3 feet from the center of the person, right?
No, it is 3 feet from the center of the chair, to the center of the chair.
Okay.
So it is, except that we know what kids do, right?
Yeah.
So it's 3 feet from center of chair to center of chair.
Thank you, Mr. Pena, for being so positive and figuring things out. I can tell that you want to go back. I can feel it right there. So thank you, Mr. Pena.
But shouldn't kids still be pretty much facing the same direction, just like they were in 6 feet? If they're 3 feet apart, they don't have to face the same direction. Okay. Should they? If the teacher's up there, I don't want to be facing this way, right? So yes, it would be nice if they could. And understanding that the teacher's still supposed to, for the most part, remain 6 feet away from the kids. So you could, yeah. I mean, you guys are experts in making this work. Now, I don't know, Lisa, if it was one of the directives before, that they all face the same direction. They were 6 feet apart. I don't know that they all had to sit, as long as they weren't, if they're sitting opposite, but they're 6 feet apart. Again, I think it's difficult to teach that way. Side by side on the table might be better, so they're sitting here and they can look at the teacher over here. But again, you guys are the professional teachers, so how it works in your classroom, as long as you remain the 3 feet apart, I have no interest in micromanaging that. I'm going to give it a couple more minutes. If there's no more questions, then we can wrap it up. If you have questions that anybody who's on here and you have a question that you feel needs to be answered over the next couple of days, email me. Happy to answer those. Talk to your principal. They're happy to answer those. Okay, just let us know. No more breakfast. Just kidding. I'll check into that one. I see nothing else coming in. So any other discussion from the board?
Any other questions or discussion before we move into closed session? Any questions from the public before we move into closed session? Thank you, everybody who joined us and had great questions. We're going to close and move into closed session.
Don't close yet. Thursday at 4:30, if you have more questions, we're starting Thursday at 4:30. I expect that that's not going to be a big, long meeting. The board's going to either decide or not decide to move forward with the recommendation. If you have specific questions, please email me or talk to the principals between now and then. Okay? Otherwise, we'll see you Thursday if you wish to come. Thank you.
Okay, with that, we're going to close. Thank you.